Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Hey guys, it's Malls. It's episode 145 of Please Advise. And today I have my friend and her baby. It's Emily Foster and Esther.
Woohoo! Hi.
How are you?
Oh my God. First of all, I just have to thank you so much for letting me bring my baby to this
adventure.
Oh
no, I was like psyched about it. I thought that seemed like a really, she's about to drop her little waffle. No, I thought this would be perfect because we like different ambiance on the show. We've never had a baby.
I love babies, so
you
this
too.
Is exciting.
Okay. It is really exciting. And we know very few people with babies.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of friends with babies, so this is great.
She gives really good advice, so.
But like, babies are hot right now. Like, I've noticed that, like, my timeline is booming. Like, everyone is having babies. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Breaking news.
So, okay. Now, I thought about this morning because by the time this comes out, it's going to be either
she'll
the news
have had
will be
the baby
debunked or or it will be confirmed and everyone will be like, yeah, we've talked this to death. Just think of this as like a retrospective, like we're like, it's like remembering election day, like remembering the day after you found out Kylie Jenner was pregnant with Travis Scott's baby.
Esther has a way, feels a way about it.
I was extremely distressed yesterday.
Well, I mean, she's quite young,
yeah.
Right? Which is just my first red
She's 20.
Alarm.
Just turned 20.
Bless her. But yeah, twins? Who is this man? I mean...
Twins?
I heard
you
twins.
You heard twins?
I heard pregnant
I
with
didn't
twins.
Hear twins.
You
I
heard singleton?
A girl, but I mean, I also...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I didn't follow up on the news today. But that would be... I mean, they're extremely fertile women.
I'm sorry, I haven't been keeping up with the Kardashians. So.
Oh.
Girl. LOL.
I probably have bad information. It was just shouted out she's having twins in my office yesterday, but I saw no source for that. So
isn't
just
that funny how that's like a bonding moment in an office?
Yeah.
She's like, guys.
Yeah.
Water cooler like, talk.
Guess what?
Casey Anthony was like that at an office I was at, as well as Amanda Knox was like.
Oh, yeah.
People were out in the hallway, like holding hands, like being like, what was your biggest one when you were at ABC?
That's hard because I think a lot of
you
people
were a
watching,
news site. Too.
Yeah, we were news. It was like hard news. So it was like, Sandy Hook was sad. It was like a Sandy Hook situation.
Tough. Yeah.
Or no one's screaming about that. Well, I'm screaming in a different way.
Yeah, they were like screaming to like, get it confirmed. Is this happening? Because I worked in a news station. So
yeah,
that was rough.
Yeah, that sounds pretty rough. I was thinking something
or
a little
Gabrielle,
bit more.
Gabrielle, when Gabrielle Giffords got shot.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, yeah. That was crazy. That was actually, like, I think about that like once or twice a week. And I'm like, we don't really talk about the fact that that happened.
It's so nuts.
I know. It's bizarre. It's crazy that that happened. The one thing I also remember is when Lindsay Lohan stole the jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
From that Venice store. That was another one.
Well, because we'd all like had it. Like even the ones that like stood by Lindsay, like we had it by the time she had stolen that necklace. We were like, bitch, you've put us through so... Sorry, Esther. I don't know if you know that word. I'm so sorry.
Unfortunately, it might be her first word.
Oh, it's okay. Like, I don't support talking about women like that.
Don't let Mal scare you.
But we were like, it had been like after this long summer of like promises. And I think she'd already like screwed over Oprah at that point, which to me was like kind of the final straw. Like screwing over Oprah. Oprah gave her $1 million to do
for
a
the
reality
show. I watched every episode.
And then she like barely, I mean...
It was non-functional.
It was a reality show about like getting Lindsay Lohan to like be involved in her reality show. And I think about like the stakes of having screwed over Oprah all the time. But here's something that I need to know about from you guys that I don't get, I don't care about, and I don't think is interesting is Fergie and Josh Duhamel.
Yeah.
Were we all really attached to them?
No.
No, and I'm always just like, I'm kind of over celebrities talking about how much they're in love with someone now because it's just like, don't do it. It's not going to last. I don't know. You don't really hear Tom Hanks talking about Rita Wilson that much, I don't think.
Oh.
But they're the last.
What if they broke up? I would be devastated.
Would you?
Yeah.
See, that to me is like Love is Dead. Like,
yeah.
Anna Faris and like Chris whatever Pratt like breaking up doesn't mean anything to me. Like, I didn't know. I mean, I guess I knew they were in love. I was
more sad about them than I am about Fergie and Josh Duhamel.
Yeah, people were really upset. And I also think that like their relationship always felt like an odd pairing to me anyway. And didn't he cheat on her right before the wedding or something like
something
that too?
Something weird, yeah.
Yeah. And so like it was a whole like will they or won't they sort of thing. And then she took him back. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of drama there. And I've just never really been a Fergie person to begin with.
Definitely not.
Like when Hollywood was obsessed with her and was like, Fergie's the hottest girl in the world. Chris Medina told me he thinks I look like Fergie the other day. And I was like, that is so mean. I mean, I don't want to look like Fergie. Like, she's a great lady, but like, I don't like... That's not my doppelganger.
Right.
Yeah, there it's a misidentification. You're like, I don't think I look like that. That's how I feel when people tell me I look like the girl from Orange is the New Black. What?
You do kind of look like her.
Yeah, but I'm also like, how many other Puerto Ricans do you know? You know what I mean?
Good point.
Like when people start saying like all black people look alike or, you know, it's just like because you haven't been exposed to a variety of black people.
Speaking of Orange is the New Black, I've been watching like a lot of Law and Order recently. Mm. And the crossover is like crazy. Like the people who've been on.
Yeah, I just want to say you said on the podcast that they took off all the like Stabler episodes from the internet. All of the episodes are on Hulu.
Okay, so it like the day after I said that, the day before I was looking for old episodes. I said that, and then the next day they're all there.
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I'm like.
The Stabler episodes are still there, people. You Mandela can enjoy effect. Head and all the other great episodes that are there.
Head. But, yeah, the crossover there is crazy. Emily, have you been watching anything recently?
You know what? This is how behind the times I am, but I just watched This Is Us.
Yeah.
I still have to watch that, so.
Okay, good. Yeah. And then I don't feel that behind.
Well, I was hesitant. Oh, she looks so happy. Hi. Esther's like smiling now. Hi. I was hesitant to watch it because it looks so kind of like a cheesy drama.
Agreed.
But I heard really great things about it, and I know someone who writes for the show now, so I'm like really, I really want to check it out. And plus, I like the idea that they're incorporating like this mixed race adoption and like that storyline, and you know. I'm really intrigued by the show, so I'll give it a chance. But I find Mandy Moore in old people makeup a little disturbing.
I love Mandy Moore.
Me too.
Yeah, but she's supposed to be playing like a 60-something-year-old mom in some of the scenes. And it's just like...
She doesn't look old enough. Yeah. She just doesn't for me.
There's no amount of prosthetics that's going to make it work.
She has always looked youthful and on top of that.
Right. She has a young face.
So being a mom...
Oh, yeah.
What Here are the three things that have surprised you the most about being a mom that you didn't know?
One is that I would really like it.
Yeah?
I don't think I was ready for that.
Really?
I was really dreading it. I know this sounds horrible, but like through my whole pregnancy, I was just like, well, my life's going to be over now.
Yeah, so it's not like, about me anymore.
Right. Yeah. So I kind of said like a goodbye to my old life tour of the world. You know, I was just like trying to do everything, like cram it all in and – I'm like, oh, no, this still works, you know, sort of. Yeah. And, like, I really like it. Like, the best thing that ever happens in my day is, like, when I go to get her out of her crib in her morning and she's just smiling at me, you know. And I'm like, oh, like, we're cool. This is cool.
Aw. Yeah, I think that's my biggest fear about having kids is just saying goodbye to that life and, like, the stress of, like, oh, my God, I have to care about – keep this thing alive all the time.
It's definitely stressful for sure. Like that's all hours of the day. I'm like, am I going to drop her? Is she going to choke? Is she just going to mysteriously die? But so far so good.
You definitely wanted kids, right? Like you guys tried for her, right?
Yeah. I mean, not to be crass, but like I've had a lot of sex in my life and like I never had a scare. So there was part of me that was like, it's probably all broken inside. No problem. We'll like quote unquote try.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll adopt if we're down the road or whatever, you know, but. It happened on the first try. So I was a little like, whoa.
Damn, girl. Yeah. You're a miracle.
And, well, you want to hear something else crazy?
Yeah. Well,
I just realized.
She's like, actually, it was from anal. It's wild.
Christina.
They really swam.
Yeah.
No, there were two guys in my past that I have since learned. Like, there are two guys that I called it off with because – whatever was happening in the bedroom wasn't great.
Yeah.
And I have since learned that, like, they aren't able to have children.
Oh.
Two of them.
And it's their issue. And I'm like, oh, maybe there was something.
Right.
You know, like an energy wise
like
where
a
virality, I was.
Yeah.
Right. Like where I was like, I'm not into this because it didn't work. Like, I really just think, I guess my point is she was meant to come into this world.
So your partner is bomb at sex is what you're saying.
Basically.
Yeah.
He's real good at that.
Okay. Number two. And let's make this one like an advice for Kylie Jenner.
Oh, yeah. Like the fluids thing is, you know, like you're constantly covered in fluids. It's like just that cliche mom thing. But it's so real. Like, it's so real. Where you just constantly have poop and milk and pee and spit all over you. Like, I washed my hair this morning. I don't know. There's stuff in there. There's stuff all over it. I don't know what's happening.
Did you tear while you were giving birth?
You're obsessed with this.
I did.
I know.
I did a lot.
How many did?
40.
No.
This is not a normal number, ladies. This is a high number.
How long is your taint?
This is a high, high number.
That's the episode title right there.
How long is your taint?
What?
40 stitches.
40.
How was the recovery?
I just had the most frustrating experience in my recovery. I went to physical therapy for the first time, and you're supposed to have like the pussy inside, like their finger banging you, physical therapy. I find a place. I'm like, I need this therapy. They're like, great, come. I go. I get there. They're like, oh, we don't do the inside physical therapy. And I'm like, what the fuck were we talking about this whole time?
Yeah.
So they just – I don't really know yet about the recovery. But like you know when you pee and you can stop the stream?
Yeah, it's like your floor is kind of like out.
I can't do any of that. There's just pee all the time. There's pee all the time. That's the other surprising thing.
Do you like pee when you laugh?
All the time.
Okay.
I'm peeing right now. No, I'm not, but I could be.
But wait, so I didn't realize there was physical therapy where they touch your vagina.
They get in there.
My other question about pregnancy. I feel like I wouldn't be ready to have sex for like 2 years after. Like I'd be like, just stay away from it. Don't go near it.
I always say things just come out now. Yeah. They don't go in. They just come out.
Yeah.
That hole. Yeah. No, we did it once and it traumatized me.
Yeah, I would be traumatized.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we take calls here on this show, and I think we should do that. Okay.
Hey, Mal, Christina, and guests. It's Jen. I'm 30. I live in New York City. I was enjoying some old episodes, and I was loving the Vitamins with Friends bit that you guys used to do. So I'm wondering two things. One, what vitamins are you and your guests currently loving? And two, how the hell, Malls, were you able to pop 4 magnesium without shitting your pants? Okay, you recommended doing this one for anxiety, and maybe your bowels are stronger than mine, but I pretty much can't even handle one of those vitamins. Anyway, I love my vitamin D and my B12. It's really helpful for depression. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, and neither are you, but I'd love for you to please advise. Enjoy New York City, and let us know if you're doing a meetup. Thanks. Love the pod.
Okay. So it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I've had a lot of people say that to me about charcoal, that, like, they don't understand how I can take 3, sometimes 6 a day, and I'm not, like, shitting my brains out.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but I would say that I probably am, like, malnutritioned in certain areas. And so if you eat a lot of stuff that has magnesium in it, you don't have that magnesium deficiency that a lot of people have, which is what leads to stress and anxiety. So I still take magnesium. I'm taking vitamin D now because I feel depressed, and I think it might be a vitamin issue. But I don't have time to go to the doctor for another 2 weeks. So I'm like just spitballing over here. And then I'm taking vitamin B6.
Ooh, those are good.
Yeah,
what does
B6
do?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. It just like was recommended by Amazon.
That isn't also like for anxiety. B6 helps with anxiety a little bit.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I also take magnesium. I take magnesium citrate.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
Do you drink it or do you take it in pill form?
Pill form.
Yeah.
And I take 2 or 3 and I don't shit my brains out either.
No, yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I have strong bowels. I also take like probiotics. There's that. So like that
Do what you need to do. Yeah,
if I was going to be shitting my brains out, it would probably be from the probiotics or something. But I'm pretty normal.
Zinc makes – whenever I take zinc, I get sick. Like,
that's weird.
It fucks up my stomach.
Oh, yeah. I've thrown up before.
Yeah.
From like, it's like having
within,
tea.
Like 20 minutes.
Or like a multivitamin on an empty stomach. Yeah.
No.
I didn't take it on an empty stomach. I've taken it on, and it still makes me like queasy and almost,
Isn't zinc what they give you if you have a cold?
Yeah. So usually I'm like, oh, I have a cold. Well, let me take zinc and like really be proactive about it. And then it's just like, blah, it doesn't stay down.
I do remember thinking it was like an aggressive thing, like those zinc lozenges that everyone used to use like in the 90s.
Yeah.
I remember being like, this is the most aggressive taste I've ever had. Like, could this, like, what is going on with this zinc shit? It tastes so bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't done friends with vitamins in a while, and I don't really know why. I think it was because, honestly, like when I moved into this new place, and like I'm sure you guys can relate to this in different areas, you're probably so busy. I just like, I got my kitchen already, but like I feel like so much other stuff is undone here, and also it took so long to get the house sort of together that I'm still catching up on stuff, and so I haven't been on top of my nutrition the way that I was like a year ago. Where I was like making all my meals and eating really well and being really good about vitamins. But so I'm kind of like, you know, I can be an irresponsible vitamin user. Like I just forget about them. I'm also taking a kratom, actually. This is what Marissa Ross talked about when she was here.
Which, it's not banned anymore, or it's not really.
Well, it's state by state.
Yeah.
So like apparently.
But not on a federal level.
I've heard of it.
Have you heard of it?
Oh, but tell me about it.
Okay, so they sell it at like head shops, basically, which means that it's not like salvia. It's like a Chinese herb, but it has very like healing properties. So for someone like me who has back spasms or like really crazy cramps, if it's like a bad day, I can just take like, I think it's 5 of these and they're gone. Like,
really?
I was having a terrible period last month. Like, ever since this, like, eclipse thing happened, my body has been so weird. And I had the worst period ever. And I remember I took kratom and I was fine. And I was like, this is, like, a miracle. Because
interesting.
Normally, like, I have to take, like, 3 Aleve, but I worry about putting all that aspirin in my liver, especially because I drink so much.
That's a fair concern. I've heard of it, but I feel like I heard that it wasn't safe. Why is it not available in every state?
I think it's not available in every state because it takes the place of an opiate.
Yes.
Oh, hot.
Yep. Yeah. So a lot of people use – kratom has been used for a lot of people to get them off of like OxyContin or whatever.
Got it.
So a lot of people use it in place of that or like to detox from – like it helps them instead of taking – I can't remember what that drug is to help people with heroin dependency.
Methadone?
Yeah. So they take that in place of taking methadone. Yeah.
Jesus. What's in there?
It helps a lot better.
I don't know. I mean, they must be taking like at least 3 times the dose I am because I don't ever feel fucked up by it. I do know that – Esther, I'm sorry. I do know that there's 2 kinds. Like, there's like red and green. And green is mellow. It's like an indica or a sativa. Like the red apparently amps you up.
It's kind of like I think a lot about like how the marijuana was outlawed because like tobacco, it was from the tobacco industry lobbying the government to make it like an illegal substance. But that was because it was just they couldn't find a way to monetize it properly.
Way to beat. Have you guys heard about this Louisiana State kid that died? He's like a frat kid and he drank a bunch and he tragically passed away. He also smoked weed. And, like, I was reading – they're apparently going to get rid of Greek altogether at LSU, which I imagine is, like, a huge Greek school.
It just sounds like it, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Like, Louisiana State. But, like, apparently the angle that I read in the article was, like, if he had just drank, he would have been fine. But because he was smoking marijuana, his body didn't have the urge to throw up. Like, that's why cancer patients take it for their nausea. And so, like, because he couldn't throw up the alcohol, he didn't realize he had alcohol poisoning. And I'm like, I think he probably just passed out.
He probably passed out.
You know, like it, like weed or no weed, but like that, it makes sense. Like in a state like that, that they're going to be like, oh, it's the weed.
But ultimately, like the alcohol is what did him in. Like that was the poison that was killing his body.
Exactly. Right. But blame the weed.
Yeah. So I guess right now they're trying to figure it out if it's like hazing or what. But like it was kind of hard to get pot in Boston sometimes. And so I can't even imagine like trying to get it in Georgia. Like how are you getting weed in Tennessee?
I don't know. I've only lived in coastal cities.
Where does it come from?
Oh my God. Growing up in Michigan, it was like disgusting. Really? Whatever we got was just disgusting.
Well, because you're near Canada, though. You should have like Beasters, which is what they called them.
I have no idea. That's what they called what?
Beasters was like the type of weed that they had.
And in Canada?
Was, like, yeah. Awesome. Like that's what they grew up there. And like now I know it to be a sativa because I always was like, there's a certain kind of high I get in Boston that like I don't get anywhere else. Like I get more stoned at my parents' house than anywhere else. And I just realized like, oh, I'm smoking like this type of, it's like a heavy, heavy sativa.
That's so funny. Yeah. And it's Canadian called Beasters, like Easter with a B.
Yes, exactly.
So interesting.
But there could be different strains, but like Beasters is like the, I think like the overall name for weed from British Columbia or whatever.
Oh, hot. Okay. Learning. I mean, so much learning today.
Did you smoke pot in college?
I did. You know what, though? So growing up in Michigan, we had, like, you know, this horrible whatever we smoked was terrible. And then I get to Oregon, where I went to college.
Oh, forget it.
I couldn't walk. So I didn't actually smoke a lot because I was so floored by, like, how strong it was.
Yeah.
But now I'm sure, like, whatever anyone is smoking is probably...
It'll put you out.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. One I hit still is haven't re-upped my card yet. Can you believe it?
Get it together, Ed.
I know. I have to go with Ed. He told me I can go without him. I'm like, no, that's not the point. I'm like, the point is that we're never allowed to not go without each other.
I don't get that. I was having this conversation last night because, like, I haven't been in a long-term relationship ever.
Yeah.
And so, like, there are certain things that couples do. Like, no, I can't do that because, you know, I have to wait until – and I'm like, so you're just going to be spoiled by this television show. Because you're waiting for someone. I've always been such an independent person, so I'm just like, wait for you to do what? No, I need to do this now. Like, get it together or I'm going on my own. And, like, I understand, like, the ritual and I respect it. But I'm at a point, like, at what point do you say, you know what, either you come and do it with me or I'm going alone?
Well, because I'm not, like, my nuts aren't in a vice. Like, I still have weed. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's not like I'm, like, suffering over here, but, like, no, I mean, I don't know. I feel like also by the time I get my card, we're coming up on January. Like, it's going to be legal.
Yeah.
I can just walk in there. Hey, what's up? It's me. Yeah. Wait, though, here's the thing. So if Esther comes to you someday and says, like, Mom, did you smoke pot in high school? Are you going to lie?
I think I'll just tell her the truth.
My mom totally lied to me.
Did she?
Yeah, and now I know she's such a stoner.
That's yeah, so you said funny. That. You were like, when I found that out, so many more moments in my like childhood made sense.
Yeah, I don't even think she was like stoned. I just think that like once you smoke pot, like first of all, you can recognize another person who smokes pot right away. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay, I got you, 420.
Sup.
But like, I was like, oh, the way my mom like is, like she was a pothead at least at some point in her life. So yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have that moment. Now everyone I know smokes with their parents.
God, my parents aren't cool enough.
Are you? You're not there yet.
Well, I feel like they will never, like, unless a doctor is like, you should smoke weed, you know, for X, Y, and Z. Like, they just are such, like, goody-goody law abiders. It's crazy.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's how I was, too. Like, I didn't smoke weed until I went to Amsterdam, and I was like, it's legal there.
That's so funny.
Tell Emily, what else you saw in Amsterdam?
Uh-oh.
I went to a sex show.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
What'd you see there?
There was an audience participation segment.
Which this disgusts me to this day because
are there also fluids in your hair?
Not tonight, but yeah. I didn't participate in this segment, I should clarify.
So this woman stuck a banana in her vagina.
Yes.
Was it peel on or peel off?
I don't know what's better. Peel off, maybe.
I honestly can't. I don't know. Unclear.
But then people in the audience went around and took bites of the banana.
Oh, no. Come on.
And so I'm like, okay, if the peel is on,
yeah,
then like there's then you, a protective layer. Sure. But like also like you, you're just eating STDs.
No. So this is probably what happened. It was peel. It was unpeeled to an extent, but the peel, the part with the peel still on was inside of her.
Oh. And so people are biting the other end while... It's in her?
Yeah, and I think she was, like, pushing it out.
That's real gross.
Nope.
I did not watch that part of it.
How much do you think she makes a night?
I don't know. This was, like, 10 years ago.
Can she afford her own apartment?
No.
If she's doing that, I don't know if she can. I don't know.
She has, like, a
Maybe she's just, like, sexually liberated.
Right.
No. It was, like, a theater. I was, like, sitting in a theater.
This is so weird.
Okay, let's take our next question.
Hi, Moms, Christina, and guest. It's your girl, same old shell, back again. Okay, so update. This was about maybe a month or two ago when I called in about the friend with benefits but didn't know what was going on, that type situation. Okay, so to wrap that up and with a little pretty bow on it, it's over. We're back to being just friends, so it's whatever. But here's the new dilemma. Still currently in Bumblefuck, Mississippi. Yay, I know, right? Technically, I am the youngest woman of color that works in my, how do I say this without being caught up? Okay, basically, I'm the youngest woman of color that works for we'll just say it's a top secret agency. It's really not, but whatever. So I just feel like that some of the older women and some of the men kind of like treat me like a child. I'm 29, by the way. I'm about to be 30 in January. So that gives you an idea of how old these people are. So basically, it's like I've only been there for under a year, so going on about 10 months. I'm on technical probation for a year, so I'll have that review coming up soon in like November, December. I'm not worried about then, but it's just me getting through the day by day of like, dude, I know my job, you guys trained me, I pretty much know the financial world that I'm in and like the day-to-day, you know, task. It's not rocket science, but still, it's just like I feel like they kind of treat me like a kid and like it's just talked down to me in some kind of way, and it's just like weird. I want to say something, but I don't want to say something because it could go in a review and it's like, oh, she's the angry black woman or whatever they may say. But like, how can I make it through these couple of months? I know this is like a little pesky little question, like first world issues, but hey, I love you guys. I want to call in and get you, see what your advice would be about this. Yeah, so please advise. Thanks, you guys.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure I remember this person's original call, which is that they had a friend with benefits. I can't remember the guest, but they had a friend with benefits that was like, no, no, no. They had an old friend that became a friend with benefits, and then they broke that off, and then they came back together as friends started to have the friends with benefits thing again.
Yeah.
But I can't remember whose episode that was.
Yeah.
I have never been a woman of color in the workplace. And like, as I was standing up to get a sweatshirt, I heard you say something like, oh, like these are very first world problems or whatever. And I just want to like let you know that these are actually very like relevant problems. And like, that's like a very like, okay thing to feel. Like you shouldn't belittle like the way that you feel about that, because This is like the most important time. It's always an important time, but like this is a very important time to be standing up for yourself and like
you're a woman of color in the South. Like that's hard.
That's gotta be hard.
Yeah. I mean, I also work in a predominantly white industry. So I understand like that fear of like being seen as like the angry, you know, woman of color. And like there are times where you know, I've had a strong reaction to something and people have misread it as like being aggressive. That's a label that I've gotten before, which is unfortunate because I think it's just a different way of expressing myself that I don't think white people are used to and like they might deem inappropriate. But if I was in an office that was mostly black, I don't know if it would go over the same way.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that needs to be taken into consideration. So I understand your hesitancy and like feeling free to like say something to your upper management because you're not sure of the way that it's going to be taken.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
That's a valid fear as well.
Yeah. The thing I can speak to, and you can probably speak to this too at some point in your career, like I've been the youngest person in an office before and mm-hmm. like it's just automatic disrespect. Like you're the easiest person to pick on because, you know, you're the spoiled millennial or whatever it is, whatever dialogue it is that they can do, the people above you, to frame how like small you are and how relevant they are still. Like it's and I don't think it's like necessarily a jealousy thing. I think it's a game thing. I think it goes back to basic biology of people wanting to make sure that their territory is like stays theirs and that there's not going to be a comeuppance. You don't seem like someone who's annoying in the workplace or anything like that. I definitely have gotten calls from people who are like, I don't know why people at work are picking on me. And it's like, because you sound fucking annoying. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, just not that I have great advice on the subject, but like one thing that I can say that's worked for me in the past is just like, if you want to be treated a different way, like step it up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like if you want to come off as older, maybe act like you are a little older. I mean, fake it till you make it in this cheesy advice kind of way, but like that's the only way. It's like if you're going to present yourself in the way that you want to be treated, most likely you will be treated that way.
And like I think the best way you can do that without like changing your personality 100% is to just become a little bit more guarded about what you share with people, because you are going to have younger thoughts and different interests in them for the most part. Like I would not be the person, if I were you, who's like, Kylie Jenner is pregnant in the office, because that does seem like the younger kid like move to do. But you do seem like a great girl. You've taken our advice in the past, which like a lot of people don't do. And like, by the way, taking our advice usually means that like you knew what you were going to do the whole time.
It's in your heart.
You just, yeah. I think it's good. Like we get a lot of people who are like, yeah, like I called about this, but I got back together with him and he tortured me for 6 months. And it's like, well, we told you not to get back together with him.
Don't get back together.
Yeah.
So, that's always the advice, by the way.
Yeah. Exactly. If you have to ask if you should break up with someone, the answer is probably yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, like, you called in and knowing that we might give you advice that's a little bit of a harsh reality, and you seem prepared to take it in stride, which is something that I don't know if a lot of people do when they call in.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Oh, but, wait. I want to clear. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you.
I just wanted to clear something up. Apparently, on Marquita's episode, I said that CVS sells cigarettes.
I can't remember that. But
yeah. And like, I actually emailed the girl that emailed saying like, just so you know, I don't like it when people drop facts, like it's knowledge. But, and she said like CVS stopped selling cigarettes in 2014 or something. And I was like, yeah, I know. I go to CVS like to get all my prescriptions. Like I know if I said CVS sells cigarettes, I was probably using it as like a offhand reference.
Yeah.
I wasn't factually stating that I buy cigarettes at CVS, which also I can't remember saying that at any point. Did you say it? Who said it?
I don't know. I have to go back and listen to that episode. I mean, like, when we got that email and I sent it to you, I was just like, I don't remember. I think I just wrote LOL, but because it's such a I thought it was just such a ridiculous thing to write in about.
Last night, and I don't recall that.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? All right. I think you emailed the wrong podcast. Like she probably was listening to someone else and was like, who pissed me off today? Oh, yeah. Please advise. Which like we still welcome that. But like I know that CVS doesn't sell cigarettes.
Yeah.
I know. There's one down the street. I wish they sold cigarettes. It would have been
my life would be so much easier.
Yeah. Just give me my nicotine. I'm quitting soon, I hope.
I hope so, too.
It's bad.
It's not good.
Did you ever have a smoking habit?
I never have, which is bizarre. I feel like everyone that we grew up with in general, like everyone smoked. But no, I don't know. I never
did.
Socially. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not smart.
it can't be good for you. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. It has to be like, so you have like smoked a cigarette.
For sure. Yeah. Okay.
You have smoked a cigarette. Yeah.
Well, because I always think like if I had just never started, like if I had never fed into that curiosity, like I would be living a different life.
If you could go back in time to young Molly.
Yeah, I would.
You would tell her, you would smack the cigarette out of her mouth and be like, don't start.
Yeah.
What was the first time you smoked a cigarette?
Okay, so there was this girl who was like in 13th grade, like basically she was just like, she was like 21 and in high school still.
Oh, sweetie.
And she was friends with our group and we got her to go to CVS because this CVS did sell cigarettes back in high school.
At the time.
Okay. And we got a pack of, I got Marlboro Lights and my friend got Marlboro Menthols. And we put them in our messenger bags and we went to her house and we like walked really, really far down the bike path and then went into the woods. And my big fear was that like my mom grew up in Lexington. Like everyone knew her. Everyone knows my family. I was like, someone is going to see me.
That was my deepest fear too. That's why I left New York.
Yeah.
And so I could have the freedom to like do whatever the fuck I want. And remember, I used to smoke a lot.
Yeah.
Because like, I had like reckless abandon. I was like, I can do whatever I want. That shocked
me the first time I saw you like being like, oh, I have my relates in my glove compartment. I'm like, oh, you do.
I'm like, pardon me, Christina. It's like
getting I don't anymore.
Secret life.
That was like my rebellion. That was me being rebellious.
But like you'll smoke one once in a while.
Oh yeah, socially I will.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love
just
that
to,
about
like,
you.
Just to kind of get that extra little buzz.
I'll be honest. I used to keep in high school an unlit cigarette in my car that I would just pretend to smoke.
Why?
Because it's fucking rad. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah. Do you think people in traffic knew it wasn't lit?
Yeah. Okay. I probably looked insane.
Yeah.
The windows were rolled
up. I know.
I'm just like, doo, doo, doo. I thought I was, like, looking
you
so
weren't
cool.
You weren't afraid your third eye blind, like, doo, 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 doo,
doo. You know me too well.
Your parents were going to find it, though?
No. No, I don't know. They probably saw it.
Oh, my God. I, like, hid my messenger bag. I put a nail in the wall behind my shirts in the closet, and then I hung up my messenger bag on that nail, and then I had it in, like, a third pocket underneath all these other pockets, and I put a bunch of books on top of it. Like, I was just, like...
so extra. I love it.
I know. I was terrified of my mom. She's a scary lady when she's mad.
Yeah.
But couldn't she smell it on you?
Oh. No, because I wasn't... I only smoked, like, two or three times in high school.
Right, like...
And once I smoked in the house.
And she didn't notice?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was smoking in the house, like, while my family was gone. Because, like, I was in college in the summer. And, like, I would stay, like, I didn't have a job during that summer for whatever reason. And I would just be smoking it up in the house. Yeah. And then sometimes my dad would randomly stop by. He never caught me. But I'm like, don't you smell the residual smoke? Like,
it's gotta be there. Dad's a tobacco salesman.
That's a slippery slope right there.
Right?
Did he tell you not to smoke?
No.
Oh, well. Smoke away then.
But he doesn't smoke. Nobody in my family smokes. Like, to my knowledge, I'm the only smoker in my family.
Yeah. Damn, girl. Yeah, no, I don't know why. I think it goes back to the I didn't want people to see me. So I just was like, if I'm contained in my room, my mom's going to be gone till like 10 or 11. Like, I can smoke at 8.
Wow. But don't you think, like, if someone had smoked in my house and I walked in, I would for sure smell it, I feel like.
Yes, it's so
100.
Strong.
100. I don't know.
I don't know. My mom might have been in denial. Thinking. We also had a really weird neighbor. So, like, it could have been that.
My mom always used to, like, when I would come home, she would smell my hair, which always made me so uncomfortable. And she'd be like, smells smoky. And I didn't smoke. You know what I mean? So, it's all secondhand smoke. But I was just like, cool, mom. Do you have something you want to say about it? Or you just want to be, like, creepy?
I was just remembering the other day, like, my college friends and I, we had this thing where, like, when we had, like, our big party night, for whatever reason, we would smoke cigarillos.
Oh, yeah. That was huge. Like, anything, like a clove.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Forget it.
So what are you going to do with Esther?
If she wants to smoke?
Are you going to smell her hair?
Oh, probably.
Probably.
The worst thing is, like, I sing her the same songs that my mom sang me. And it's like, you don't even think about it. The shit just comes out of your mouth. I'm sure that I'm going to be, like, just totally my mom, and it's going to terrify me every day. There's going to be one moment
where you guys are having an argument and you're going to say something and you're like, oh my God, I'm my mom.
It's totally going to be when I sniff her hair and I'm going to be like, oh, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's like that's how you – I mean, it's another way that you figure out your mom's a human.
Yep.
You know, which is always like a hard thing to accept.
Yeah.
Esther will figure out you're a human someday. Isn't that scary?
I hope at least she's like – she's kind of cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I'd take kind of.
There's that. No, you're super cool. Let's take our next call.
Hi, Miles. And I guess this question is for anyone. I don't know. I recently moved to New York, and I know it's so cliche to move to New York and then start having all these doubts. But I guess I just look around and I see people who have used their experiences, positive or negative, to their advantage, or at the very least have become very well-adjusted grown-ups. And I feel like I just missed out somewhere along the line, and I don't have that thing that kind of makes you like a well-adjusted, confident, ambitious, easygoing person. Like, if you put me in a room with 5 or 6 well-adjusted people, I would probably do fine talking and nodding and smiling. But then as soon as I'm alone again, I kind of wonder, like, what were their childhoods like? What kind of things have they survived? And how come they know what to do despite everything? And what do they know that I don't know? And how are they going along as well as they are? And I guess it's just kind of related to feeling like things are just never going to change for me. And it's like the worst, most useless feeling in the world, but I feel like I'm always going to keep making the same mistakes. I'm always going to keep repeating the same ineffective patterns while everyone around me just keeps rising. And then I guess the ultimate darkest point is if I can change and if things are never going to change for me, then what's really the point?
Okay. I'm going to let Emily take this first because she's lived in New York before. You're not from New York. Had that welcome to New York Taylor Swift moment.
I did.
Tell me about it.
First of all, it's a really hard city, right? I mean, you're from there. It's like, I remember being just shocked by how, and you kind of said this in your call, but like people were just really just real 100% of the time.
Yeah.
AKA like not always that nice.
Yeah.
And for no reason. But that's fine. Like that's good.
Do you really think it's for no reason?
I mean, I think part of it, when you're just like shuffling to and from like the places where you need to go and there are bodies in the way, like I do think it's just no reason. You just see people as like obstacles.
I've had people give me wrong directions on purpose before in New York.
That is not the New York I know. It was probably some sort of hipster that moved there.
Yeah, it was a lady who was like,
I'm
not
a real New Yorker now.
She had no time for me. She had no time for me.
Real New Yorkers are not like that. They're good salt of the earth people.
I believe that.
Thank you.
I believe you are. But the one thing I do want to say is like, you know, you're comparing yourself to all these people who might seem like they have like fabulous lives or come from different places than you're from. But like you are important and where you come from is important and your life is important.
Right.
And know that when you're in those conversations with 5 other people, they're thinking the same thing about you. And we just want you to think it about you. That's the missing piece there.
Yeah. And those like those thoughts of self-doubt, like they're probably having the same thing.
100.
They're just hiding it better. Or they're just, you know, like you're too busy caught up in your own thoughts to notice their thoughts are like that too.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I realized after a long time in LA of like really struggling and like having a lot of people around me who were doing the exact same thing, but like they were renting houses and like they had expensive food from nice grocery stores in their house. And like they all like, you know, they always had a car and they always had gas and they always had all these things that I was just like, man, I am like struggling to like have these things. Like, what are they doing that I'm not? The answer was they had rich parents. And I did. It took me literally until I got hired on Two Broke Girls for me to realize, like, oh, they've been rich this whole time. And so there are certain things about people's socioeconomic background, their educational background, like whatever it may be, they could be either overcompensating or so used to something that it doesn't occur to you that maybe you're dealing with someone who is actually a fucking rich kid who is able to be an artist because their parents let them be.
That is a huge point right there.
Yeah. So, and the other thing too is that, like, I don't know to the extent that you're doing it, I feel like you're giving yourself a lot of shame for having post social interaction shame, which for me was like basically the norm. Like there was never a Sunday morning that I woke up in my 20s and was like, well, that went well last night. Like every Sunday I would call it shame day. It was just a day full of like, I don't know why anyone likes me. Like I'm a crazy person. Like these people are all like, they're probably all looking down on me. They like, you know, are so successful and I'm not.
Yeah.
And that's just part of like, I mean, if you haven't been exposed to these thoughts already, then like, God bless. Like, I've been dealing with that.
That never my thinks whole about life. That.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've always kind of dealt with that. Hi. Esther's so smiley. You know, she wants you to be happy in New York. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That like, when you were talking about it, reminded me of the LCD Sound System song, New York, I Love You, But You're Bringing Me Down. Exactly. Like, that's a real thing. And, you know, I want you to prepare because you're going to transition to some really dark seasons, you know, like there's like less light, especially since you're in the East Coast, the Northern East Coast, you get even less light than you do.
Get a happy lamp.
Yeah, get a happy lamp. Take care of yourself. We're all faking it until we make it. Not, you know, everybody puts up most people put up a facade. So if it seems like people are more well-adjusted, they're not. They have their issues too.
And one thing I like to do, I write gratitude lists, not to be all Oprah in your face, girl, but the other thing I add to them is brags. Like, I want to start bragging about myself. You know what I mean? So it's like, hey, I kept the baby alive another day. I'm going to brag about that because it's a win. You know what I mean? So you might want to try that. Like, just call out the things that you know about yourself that are awesome.
Be your own hype man.
Yes.
I have to burp. I'm sorry. I just burped a little bit. But I do want to say, what was I going to say? Before I had to burp, before the gratitude list. Well, I'm going to New York next week and I'm actually really nervous because I've only been to New York probably like six times. And I would say it's like the same ratio I've had with shrooming where it's like four of those experiences have been fucking terrible and like three have been like, wow, that was like really transformational and cool. And like that, I think that is why I've always been afraid of New York, why I'm glad I moved to LA first. I still don't know how to use the subway there. Like just the fact that you wake up every day and you navigate that city, I think a lot of people would say LA is scarier because of the driving, because you know, it's the vampire climate. People, you know, while it seems like in New York, like they don't have the same qualms about lying to your face that people do here. So I'm surprised to say that New York scares me more, but it just does. And so if you can keep in mind that every day you're like in a competitive environment, like they don't call it like, hi.
She thinks Esther's you're real loving funny. It.
Esther's here for you.
Yeah. Oh, hi. She's so cute. Oh my God, she's like cute. Emily, like she's cuter than I thought. Like I've seen pictures, but like she's one of those people that you're like, you're better looking IRL. And you're like hot online too.
It's actually making me want a baby, but I'm just like, I'm not even with anyone. How is that? I'm a single person.
I want to just get pregnant so bad and have a kid, but like, I can't do it. I just can't. I can't be a single mom. Like I can't in good conscience do that, like knowing that I don't also have like a phenomenal financial situation.
That's fair. I think that's smart.
You know, like if you're
– I don't have a phenomenal financial situation.
If you're Kylie Jenner, you know, Travis Scott's just a sperm donor to you, honey. Okay? Like, that's one thing. They need to be very clear. Like, this, the media, everyone's all like, oh, yeah, like, Travis Scott hit the jackpot. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, have we seen what's happened to Blac Chyna, by the way? And she's probably the, like, a woman is more likely to get child support. If Travis Scott comes for child support, I am sure that Kris Jenner has his ass in some sort of contract, nuts in a vice. And look, I think that you should look at New York like Kris Jenner. Okay.
Yes.
It can be tough. It can be brutal. It can be protective of its own ecosystem.
It might change genders on you.
It might. It might transform. But I will say that, just think about it like Kris Jenner.
Take that city by fucking storm.
Smoke some pot and then think about her as Kris Jenner, the city as Kris Jenner, because that might be a hard thing for you to come to on your own.
There was a tweet I read yesterday from this guy, N.R. Murrow, and he said, TMZ is reporting that Kylie Jenner is pregnant, and I, for one, can't wait to see lip kit swatches on the newborn's arm.
That guy is in my Emotionally Broken Psychos Facebook group, and he's like, you guys, he's like, I posted this, and my mentions are, like, ridiculous. He's like, I don't know what to do.
I loved it.
I know. It's so funny. She uses her cleaning lady's arm. Do you test out
swatches on Esther's arm?
Oh, we do lip kits all the time. We also do like the lip plumping, you know? We do the vacuum cleaner lips.
Oh, honey. Oh, she's so
having the time of her life. She's just hanging out upside down.
Do you love being at my house?
She does. She loves being upside down. It's really weird.
I'm so sad you guys can't see how cute this baby is right now.
I know. It's ridiculous. I know. Actually, this is like unfair. We're like talking about the cutest baby.
Theater for the ear.
But, you know, just like hang in there, girl. Like, you know, your 20s are tough. Life is tough. Big cities are tough. Like, all of these things. Like, I remember someone saying something to me, like, and it was kind of like an asshole thing that when they were saying it, but like, it was very poignant in its simplicity. Where she was like, wow, you'd almost think Hollywood is competitive or something. And she was like kind of like snapping me back into reality where she's like, Molly, like, of course people aren't being like, of course, like, you know, so-and-so is going to fuck you over. Like, this is what they do here. This is tale as old as time. Get used to it.
Yeah.
And like, if you're trying to be in a competitive industry, you're dealing with that all the time. And like, it's not for the faint of heart. But I will tell you that I have been able to continue to work with people and go into things and meet new people that I don't necessarily trust, but that I want to work with. But the reality is that I have brought my social life down and my circle down to such a tight-knit group that it's ridic.
It's just me, guys.
Yeah,
it's
just your Christina. People. Get your people. Keep them close for sure.
Yeah. And maybe also, that will help you combat the social stuff when you're networking versus when you're having real friend time.
And we say this a lot on the pod, but like, don't be so hard on yourself. Give yourself a break.
Yes. I know. Well, I was thinking like even this week, you know, it's like you were kind of saying this earlier, like now I'm at a point where like I'm definitely adult. Obviously, I have a baby. I'm married. I own a house.
Hell yeah, you do.
It's all those scary things. And I still feel like a fake adult all the time. I still feel like I'm faking it. And, like, that's probably not comforting to know that doesn't go away, but I care so much less.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
It melts away. Like, the fucks that you have, like, you start giving a lot less care to, like, what other people think.
It does happen. A really great article this week on Gawker that I want to read to you really quickly. And, Emily, I want to talk about your pod really quick before we get to the end because I know that people tune out at the end. I listened to the episode the other day with Trayvon, and I had no idea that he was out. I was like – I wrote him, like, this letter, and I just was like, oh, my – like, I'm so proud of you, like, because I've known him since he started to pop up on Twitter. So it's just like, and now he just has this monstrous success with Daily Show. But your show is called How to Be Less Old. It was not always called that. It used to be OMG Podcast, right?
OMFG, yeah. But we changed it because really we want you to know what you're getting when you listen to it. And you're getting tips on how not to be old as fuck.
So I think that this was a helpful change for me because now I understand more of what it is. It's basically you have youngins on to come explain stuff to you. That's right.
25 and younger. And like, you know, what's hard is like you learn just from them talking, right? So it's like the other day we had a girl on who's 18 and she was like, oh my God, so-and-so is my day one. She's day one.
Oh, yeah, day
and
one.
We were like, oh, so, okay, that's a thing now.
Like you're day one. Like Christina, like you're my day one. Like Ed's my day one. Like these are people that have always been there.
Oh, they've moved on from
I want to come on your podcast, right?
We're having you on.
Okay.
100%.
Are you too old for that?
First of all, I already checked that, Christina, off mic. Thank you. I'm 33. I'm very proud to be, and I'm a Capricorn, so I age in reverse. So, and also, I was the only person at this table who knew what day one meant.
Exactly.
So, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. I'm literally staring at a poster that says that right now as I say it.
When is Esther going to be a guest on the show?
Never. She'll stay a baby forever, right?
Yeah, of course.
Haven't really thought about that, like what's gonna happen if I have kids and all of this living journal of me exists online.
Yeah, I think about that all the time.
Oh yeah, I don't.
I think about, like,
why aren't you talking about this on mic? Yeah, because I know there's a kid someday that's gonna find it and be like, oh. Mom, here are the receipts. If they're anything like me, receipts. They'll be like, here are the receipts, Mom.
Yeah,
I know you did this.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think about my mom hearing this and being like mortified. And like sometimes I'll like really let her rip. And I'm like, wow, you must really not give a fuck if Shauna's listening to this or not. But
I love that her name is Shauna, by the way.
Shauna.
She is such a Shauna.
We're going to Portland for Christmas. If anyone knows about Portland, please tell me as soon as possible what neighborhood to stay in because I want to Airbnb and
Northeast. Yeah.
Okay, because I want to Airbnb a house with a hot tub because we're going to be there for like literally Christmas Day. And I think my surprise to her is going to be I'm going to have like someone come with a fake Christmas tree and set it up so that like when she gets there, it's like Christmassy. Like I might get there a day early and not tell her.
That's really cute.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'm the best. Bragging, see?
But she's so hard to shop for. Like my mom is like, you could never get her a necklace that said like number one mom or like all the other shit that people would get for their moms for Mother's Day because my mom would be like, what am I going to do with this?
I mean,
my mom would be like, I love it.
You know? Yeah. Oh, no. Diana would be like still wearing it today.
Yeah.
I'm all about truth with gifts. I don't know. My mom always used to give me things and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
She's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't want it. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
My mom does that sometimes, too. But now I'm like, here's my Pinterest board.
Totally.
I have a Pinterest board that's like things I actually want. That's the name of the Pinterest board.
That's and I smart. Send it.
Yeah.
You know, I just finally figured out how to deal with the conversation with my husband because I don't want to, you know, like I don't feel like I can be that insensitive as I can with my mom. But like with him, now I've realized if I say, has my family reached out to you to see what I'd like for X holiday or birthday? And he'll say no. I'll be like, well, if they do, here's what I want. So it's like you're communicating it.
Got it.
Not for him, but for him.
I thought you were saying that you just got to the point where, like, if he gets you something you don't like, you're like, okay, we low-key like, need to return this.
No, we're not even there yet. I just pretend to like it.
Yeah, I don't think you ever really, like, to an extent, I don't really think you can.
No.
Well, it's also just, like, sometimes you really are, even if it's not, like, your jam – she has a lot of opinions on this. No, sometimes if it's not like your jam, you still appreciate like the effort. Like you see like, oh, you were trying to be thoughtful, even though it's not something that's really like I want to wear.
Right.
You were like, oh, she likes stripes.
Right.
Like you put a little bit of thought into it. And that's kind of beautiful in that effort, that amount of thought process can be kind of beautiful.
Totally.
I am not gracious. I mean, I am in the like moment when I open it, I'm like, oh my God, thank you. I had an ex give me a necklace that was so not me. It was a birthstone necklace that was like a heart shape. And I'm like, what am I, a fucking 12-year-old? Like, what? Like, who gets a birthstone necklace for someone? Yeah. And like, it was a big thing where it's like, I had to be wearing it. And if I wasn't wearing it, then it was like, exactly. It'd be like, oh, you don't like your necklace. And I just remember opening it and being so stunned at A. Like, I remember I went on Amazon after and I looked it up in reverse and it was like $60. And it was on a silver chain. And I'm like, no, if you know one thing about me, audience, what do you know about me? Okay. yellow gold only. That's all I fuck with, okay? And it was like just things like that where I was like, he's never really going to take the time to know me. Like he's like the fact that he thinks that I would want this. And so that's why that's usually what upsets me is the like the I my college boyfriend did this too. He went to the Limited and he bought me like a bunch of like preppy shirts and I was like Limited. Either you don't pay attention to me or you want me to change.
It's that feeling that you also get when your friend sets you up with someone, like a blind date.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, do you know me?
Yeah.
Like, why do you think I would be good with this person?
Yeah.
It's that same feeling.
I'm going on a blind date in New York.
What do we know?
Where?
For dinner somewhere. It's through a friend. She was like, I have an idea, like my – like I had a like premonition last night when I was waking up where like basically like you have to go on a date with him. Like I don't know what I was thinking. Like we have to set this up. So I'm going on a date with him. But like we only have one night to hang out because he's going to go.
You're going
to
be in the city?
I'm going to be in the city. Yeah.
Okay.
And then he – well, where else would I be?
Oh, I mean that Manhattan.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was
that's
like –
that's New Yorker slang for you guys.
Oh. Yeah, no. So – I mean, I don't know, man. Like, it just is weird because it's so anticlimactic, but slash so climactic. Like, it's like either
I hope it's climactic.
Like, oh, okay. Actually, that's you, Christina. Christina was 20 minutes late this morning. She was getting fucked.
No, that's not
so, oh my god!
I wish
she is riled up for that.
You know what's up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she doesn't like it when Christina lies. Yeah.
Yeah, you like that better.
Yeah, that's understandable. But, yeah, it's like it's a kind of a non-event in the sense that, like, oh, she's okay. It's okay. That's very helpful. You're podcasting.
It's her first podcast.
her foot is in her mouth, you guys. But yeah, like, so like, let's say we have the best date ever, right?
Yeah.
Well, it sucks because he's on like a plane the next day because he is going on a trip himself. And then.
Does he live in New York?
Yeah. And then if we have like the worst date ever, then it's like, great. Like I could have spent tonight with my college friends. Like also like. Now I have to go explain to my friend that, like, her friend's a fuckboy or, like, whatever. I think it'll be good. But I mean, why do I do this to myself? This is, like, on Valentine's Day going on a blind – on a Tinder date, like, in New Orleans. Like, put yourself out there. Same goes for you, Missy. Okay, let's take our next call. Guys, you can call 323-450-7408 to get a call on the show, which is very important. We need them all the time. It's how the show works. Or you can email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with a letter or voice note. We have a letter right now, and Emily is going to read it.
Oh, my gosh. This is exciting. Okay. Hi, Miles and Christina. I'm a 34-year-old white female living in Detroit and loving it. My boyfriend and I moved here 3 years ago from Pittsburgh, and we purchased our first home a year ago. Congratulations. We spent our first two
years... Wait, where is she living?
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit.
We spent our first 2 years in Detroit where we were the only white people on our block, and we got along with everyone and enjoyed our neighbors. Our new home is on the west side of the city, and we've experienced several disappointing interactions with our new white neighbors. They immediately came over to let us know how happy they were that a nice white couple moved in. Other neighbors drop N-bombs into conversations. I promptly let them know I don't think that is cool or I don't talk like that. Most recently... an older, trashy Polish couple moved in across the street.
Okay.
Out of nowhere, the man let me know his dog didn't like black or Muslim people. I was dumbfounded, nervously giggled, and said I had to go. We are called Liberal Ryan and Katie by our Trumpster neighbors. We have a civil relationship with them, but we really don't want to be lumped in with them or their ignorant views. Our neighborhood is probably 80% black and 20% white. I love the kids on the block and the general vibe of the neighborhood besides these interactions. I also don't want to start any problems with neighbors who I'll be living next to for who knows how many years. Please advise, Katie.
Okay. Wow. Well, first of all, God bless you, Esther. I mean, Okay, I think we can all point out the kind of like record skip moment that happened there when you were talking about how people are making discriminatory comments that are generalizations and really fucked up. And then you say this older, trashy Polish couple moved in. And I also just want to go to show and say that there is so much racism within your own race. Like, that's like, I don't know what you are, but you're, I'm assuming these Polish people are white. You are white. And like, it's just like, first of all, there's all sorts of like, people say, well, who do Latinas notoriously hate?
The Mexicans are typically the one that gets shit on the most.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like,
or black Latinos.
Or like outside of, yeah. So, but also like blacks and Hispanics have it's like a common.
Yeah.
I think white people are like that with Asian people because they're so much more advanced than us.
I've heard Latinos be like that with Asian people too.
I think everyone's just intimidated by Asians.
Like an Archie Bunker. Like,
they're so wonderful.
I know, right?
I just want to be them.
But, I mean, I don't know. It sounds to me like you're a little bit over-involved with the neighbors. I know that you want to be in a neighborhood and have that neighborhood feeling. But if someone was talking like that to me, I would just really limit my interactions with them. And it seems like you're doing everything you can. You are new to the neighborhood. So the last thing you want to do is set yourself up to be hated.
And you know what? It could be beneficial for you to go outside of your bubble a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, I know it's frustrating to engage with people who probably might not think of a lot of minorities as humans. But, you know, one of the things, you can gain a lot of perspective from talking to people like that, even if you are struggling to be polite with them. And then also don't engage when it's too much. Like, and you don't have to talk to them.
Yeah. It also sounds like you're doing the right thing by saying, like, you know, when you drop the N-word, that's not, you know, language I...
Yeah.
Can accept in my
it
life.
Is very hard for a lot of people to be able to say that in the moment because it happens and they're either stunned or it happens and they're like, okay, well, I'm not going to fight with someone who says the N-word because like they're beyond. So like the fact that you like are actively speaking up and saying something is to me a huge thing and something that should I just want to like praise you for. People think it's easier to call someone out in a moment than it is. So there you go.
Yeah, no, it takes a lot of guts.
I don't know if I want to put like a sitcom bow on this, but for some reason, like I feel like if you had a neighborhood party where like you just invited over like the families in the neighborhood that you're close to, white, black, whatever, and like just – you know, had an opportunity where they had to socialize in some capacity, I think that you could really, I don't think you're going to like solve racism in your neighborhood.
No. And also realize like your neighborhood's probably, the makeup of your neighborhood is probably going to change within the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who grew up 2 miles outside Detroit, I will say, that's, you know, that's always been there. That's always been an issue.
Yeah.
Sounded like you liked the East Side better. You know, maybe you guys want to think about purchasing a home back over there and you know, who knows? It probably will change, you're right.
Yeah.
But just remember, you know, you are in a city that's probably 95% African American. So it's the best thing you can do is like to keep telling people, you know, that kind of talk isn't welcome here. So I really applaud you for doing that.
I have like a sign out on my front.
I saw that.
Yeah. And like, it just is like basically like in our house, we believe that like all people matter basically. Yeah. And like, there's ways that you can be.
Well, actually, not all that, people.
Like, it sounds like you're doing it like an all
life. Oh, yeah. No. Like, that, like, you know, that like, no, like marriage is about love, that like Black Lives Matter, that like it goes on and on. Sorry,
we're a feminist household.
I'm not saying I have an All Lives Matter poster in my front yard. I would like to be after the CVS incident of last week, I would really like to move past these things that I drop apparently. But yeah, no, that's not what I meant. But basically it's a sign about equality. I'll take a picture of it. We'll post it on the thing.
Yeah.
There's ways to have subtle activism like that in your neighborhood just to say like, hey, like, it's not cool to talk to me like that. And, you know, yes, all that will probably really do is make the racist people in your neighborhood get together and just speak more privately about their racist bullshit, but...
That's probably for the best, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, they'll know that that behavior is not meant to be publicly tolerated.
Yeah.
And so maybe it'll make them rethink. It probably won't, but I don't know, dude.
I would say also, like the people who call you, like, liberal, Katie, and whatever, like, why don't you call them, like, Republican Bob and Sue? And just, like, literally just say it back to them. Be like, yeah, oh, like, if I'm liberal, Katie, then you're Republican Tom. Like... You know, like, I don't know. Okay, we should wrap it up. Esther's had enough. Wags has had enough. I've had enough, frankly. Emily, but I can't ever get enough of you.
I've never had enough.
And I just love seeing you. I'm so proud of you and your baby. And oh, she got her face. It's like she's... This baby is on fleek, okay?
Thank you guys so much.
I don't want to say, like, on fleek about a baby, but she's on fleek. Esther, thank you so much for being here. Emily, people can find your podcast where?
On iTunes, on earwolf.com, on Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. How to Be Less Old.
How to Be Less Old. And
and I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster on the Twitter. I think on Instagram, I'm just Emily F. Foster.
I've always wanted to know how Frida Foster happened.
It's my middle name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I actually, like, had just broken up with a guy, and this was, like, when Twitter was born.
Yeah.
And he was super active on Twitter, and I had to join for work, and I didn't want to be found.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'll just do my middle and my last name.
I had no idea Frida was your middle name. That's dope.
Thanks, boo.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being here. I love you guys. I would love to have you back soon. Oh, and Esther, I will definitely have you back very soon as well, okay? And then I'm also going to eat you and maybe put you on my barbecue.
Yes.
And then suck on your leg meat.
Yes.
Okay, I love you guys. I'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on the internet if you haven't already, on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. We're in all the places. And also listen to my other podcasts, Mostly Broken Psychos and Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. Christina was just on the last episode.
Oh, I do want to say one more thing.
What?
Guys, Puerto Rico went through a really terrible hurricane.
Thank you.
I haven't heard from my family members in 4 days. It's really, really bad. So if you can... There's a couple. We'll put up some donation links in this episode description.
I'll donate right now. Yeah, we're showing.
There's one place called Unidos, UNIDOS.
Okay.
Por.
POR. DOS, honey. POR.
Puerto Rico.
Oh. Okay.
It's run by the wife of the governor of Puerto Rico.
.com.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this. Yeah. The first lady
of Puerto Rico.
She's lighting it up.
Guys, if you can, it's really, like, it's been completely devastated. And the difference between this and, like, a lot of other states is that they have really good state budgets that can allot for emergency things that, you know, Puerto Rico just doesn't.
I mean, you see how poorly it's handled in our country, like, yeah, with FEMA or whatever. Like, I mean, you can only imagine that in other countries where this isn't set up. It's,
well, yeah, technically Puerto Rico is this country. So,
right, that's true.
But that's the other thing that a lot of people forget. And, you know, so please, if you can, donate. We'll put some more links in this episode description. It would just mean $1, $5, whatever you can. That would,
yes,
mean a lot to me.
And I'm sure it's a tax write-off too. So if you're a selfish motherfucker, there's still a reason.
Yes.
All right, you guys.
Donate.
Yes, donate, donate, donate. And also keep donating to all the people in Houston. And there's
Florida,
all sorts of, there's, I mean, my God.
Mexico.
It's been a terrible year. I think we can just acknowledge that,
yeah,
in every possible way. I would like to say that it is kind of exciting to know that we are already almost up on a year of Trump being president, which means that we only have to do 3 more, unless he gets impeached, hopefully. But after everything he's done this year, is it going to happen? I don't think so. Yeah. But what I will say is that I'm the type of person that when I see time passing quickly, I get excited.
Yeah.
So while the earth may be burning by the end of the next 4 years, we got at least one of these behind us. So, all right. Thank you guys for listening. Bye, Emily. Bye,
bye,
Christina. Bye, world.
Bye, Esther.
Hi, Esther. She knows her name. Hi, yeah. Big girl, knowing your name.